Welcome to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, the show that focuses on the power of hope and the strength that grows up when standing on a foundation of possibility. This is Growing Hope, where we are gathering the keys for unlocking hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are pursuing purpose and unique design by breaking down the walls they have demanded we live behind. I am Catherine Lang and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host because I know the power of the promise and the strength it gives me for walking down my unique path. I am walking down my unique path, and I encourage you to take the steps to uncover your path and take the steps necessary to reach your unique design. We can get there. I watched a video of a young lady that had a heart to sing. She was on the path to pursuing that dream when disease struck her deaf. Her dreams were crushed. She was crushed. And then one day, she decided no more. She sang on America's Got Talent because she trusted her training and her ability and mostly her heart. I chatted with other writers the night before I saw this video, and I shared my biggest fear about writing. I never share my fears because I don't want to give them fuel. But I did that night. I shared, what if I'm not good enough? And I wasn't alone. About half of those in the conversation had a similar comment in one form or another. Despite giving light to the fear, though, I woke up the next morning just overflowing with hope and determination, probably because I still ended my night that night with my gratitude list. But that fear, it started creeping back in, and it had discouragement and disappointment in tow. Until I saw her sing. I choked up. Her testimony hit me hard. I felt a surge of hope moving its way up from my heart into my head. And the words she had written about her own struggles, they knocked me flat, but in a good way. Try. That was the name of her song, and that was the message of her words. Try. When I was a 17-year-old, I wanted to be a writer. The only gift I wanted that year was my very own typewriter. And I used that typewriter to turn all of my poetry and short stories into manuscripts. I wanted to use them to submit to different publications. I started working on my first novel. I was pursuing my dreams of writing, and I was pursuing it with boldness. And then it happened. I received that first rejection letter from 17 Magazine telling me that they needed a signature from my parents. But what I heard was that they didn't want my story. And then my grandmother told me that writers were called starving artists for a reason. Although she was talking about my uncle. She wasn't talking about me. But I heard her. And then my school counselor encouraged me to pursue a profession in math, not in words, because after all, math professions were wide open for women at the time. So I let my dream go. I stopped with the creative words. I still wrote in my journal, but I kept even those words hidden in a desk drawer along with that started manuscript. I quit. I took the rejection to heart and went on a different path. Or I should say, I took the very long way. Dare I say the desert path to my dream. I have since stepped back into that heart of the 17-year-old writer. And I'm pursuing my passion of words. Or I'm trying to pursue my passion of words. I still fight those negatives. And I was fighting hard. Because the negatives were coming at me from all directions. And then I heard her sing. Conviction washed over me and through me. Not condemnation that reminds me that I will never be enough, but conviction that challenges me to try. I have to continue to feed that 17-year-old heart. And to do that by allowing that very heart to dare to dream. I daydream. I take snippets of the day and I allow my imagination to run free. Just unlimited ideas and thoughts. I also invest in reflective contemplation, the what-if moments of different choices moving forward. I make room in my day for conceiving dreams, the dreams that breathe life into the incredible ideas that make room for possibility choices. I take time for collective dreaming, sharing in the fantasy possibilities with friends and with family. I ground my dreams. After I do all this dreaming, I then take it and I ground it, not by crushing the potential, but by giving them the foundation to grow up into possibilities. It is the heart that dares to dream that will have the courage to try, and I am going to try. I am going to continue to take steps and to jump, to leap even, and see what happens. Because if I don't try, it's the only way I ever fail. Everything else is a learning experience for me, so I have to try. I have to dream the impossible and then dare to try to live it out. That's how I succeed into all that I'm designed to be. That's how I become the unique and amazing creation that was crafted at the beginning of time. I have to dream, and then I have to make and take the actions that are going to breathe life into those dreams. But it starts with a dream. It starts with the daring that says, this that I see right now is not the limits. It's just the starting point. Everything is possible. When I dare to dream that it's possible, and then I begin to narrow down and hone down and craft that dream into a true possibility. I have to dare to dream to begin the process. The only person holding me back from my big dream goals is me. It is no more complicated than that. In the last 24 hours, I have heard this said or seen it shown in so many different ways that there can be no doubt. Or there should be no doubt. There's still doubt because I'm still struggling. But it is up to me. I know it's up to me, and I have to try. And if I'm going to step out into all my possibilities and I'm going to live out my big dream goals, then I'm going to have to keep inspiration alive to fuel the efforts. It is a journey, and it will take more than one step to get me there. I have to inspire the efforts to take that first step and then to keep stepping until I arrive. I give life to inspiration in my life and for my life when I take time to dream. First, I daydream. I daydream about what will be and how it will be. I play the if I won the lottery game, even though I don't play the lottery. And I dream about all the things I would do or could do when it happens. I even make charts of what percentages would go where and how it would accumulate over the years. I plot out how the money's going to be spent and even invested to keep the money flowing. I dream about signing that contract with a top five publisher, complete with a loaded check up front. I think about the top shows I would want to be featured on during the launch celebration and what new projects would become possible because of that first contract. I daydream about moments, about possibilities, and about all that I can be. I also invest in reflective contemplation. I think of this in part as my what-if moments as well, but it's the what-if I had done it differently. What if I had said yes to that opportunity? What if I had said no? This can be a tricky place to release the dreams because it can easily move over into nightmares. But I use reflective contemplation dreams to see how I can make better choices in the future and not to condemn my choices of the past. Did I jump into a program and spend a lot of money and not get the results I wanted? Well, I dream about how that conversation could have gone before I jumped. And I think about or dream about the questions I would have asked and how that conversation would have gone so that I'll know for in the future. I dream about how I could have done more or better within the program once I got in it. I let the dreams be possibility makers for my next step. I also make room for conceiving dreams. These dreams give birth to amazing possibilities. Conceiving dreams are about what I can create. I look out at the pile of pallets in the backyard and I dream about all they could become. I see displays for a book event. I see lawn chairs for around the pool. I see a wall for the porch. Granted, I only have 20 pallets, but I see a lot. I dream about what can be done or should be done with where I am and with what I have. I make sketches of my dreams or lists of the possibilities or even draw up plans of how the dreams will play out. If only. Sometimes my dreaming directions cross streams. I let the dreams conceive of unexpected possibilities. I take time out to dream collectively because two heads are a lot more fun than one. And it's funnier too. Sharing dreams with others can produce some amazing ideas that could never be fathomed alone. I shared a dream of a conference, and that dream grew into the Mountain Valley Writers Conference. I shared a dream of collaborative fiction book, and then we started pulling people in to talk about it, and that's really, it sparked into something that's a little crazy and a lot out there, and it has so much potential that it's just amazing. My little dream grew with each person that dared to dream with me until we had something incredible to move towards. Dreaming with others builds up possibilities to more than I could ever dream alone. I also ground my dreams. In other words, I'm going to invest in looking at all this that I've been dreaming. And all this that I've uncovered and all of this that I've discovered, and I'm going to see how I can make them work out for real. Some of my big dream goals that I've written out on my whiteboard of world domination, those have come from the dreaming processes I have shared today. I've thought about the ideas, the sketches, the different plans that I laid out. I meditated on them. And then I determined what could be done now, where I am with what I have. And I also determined what could be done with creative investments or interesting combinations. I determined what wouldn't work until other things were in place. And when I had all of that formulated and understood, I began to craft my whiteboard of world domination so that I could see it, so that I could see it every single day. It started with the dreams, and then I took the dreams and I chipped around them until I had a masterpiece of possibility to pursue that I could look at every day and go, that's where I'm going. Dreams are the beginning, but they create the way for inspiration to ignite the heart. I need that in my journey. The world is full of can'ts and won'ts, and it's not supposed to be like that. Or you can't do it like that. So much so that it stops a 17-year-old with a love for words from pursuing that passion. I have to feed the possibilities. I have to fire up the hope. I have to fuel the inspiration. When I dare to dream, I create an atmosphere of possibility that allows me to move. I still have to move. I still have to take the step. I still have to go. But when I'm fueled by the fire of inspiration that springs up from the dreaming heart, then I am this much closer to taking hold of all that I desire. Dreaming is not just for children. Dare to dream. I need to have a little more hope if I'm going to keep dreaming. I need to keep dreaming if I'm going to continue growing up possibilities. I need to keep growing if I'm going to become all that I am uniquely designed to be. Hope matters. Dreaming matters. Growing matters. It is all important and it all works together. I need to hope and dream and grow, but I will also have to work. Ultimately, the only one that can get it done is me, so I have to get doing. I still make time to dream, though, because when I dream, I create new pathways to possibilities that didn't exist before. I see new ways of doing things or new connections that I might have missed without the dreaming investment. Peter had a dream. He was on a rooftop meditating, or maybe even doing a little daydreaming of his own, because I know for me, the two can very easily become intertwined. So Peter's up there doing whatever it was he was doing, and all of this takes place in Acts 10. You can go over there and read the story. But Peter sees an image of a net being lowered down. In the vision, or in the dream, if you will, Peter hears God say to him, "Eat." But there's a problem. See, the net is filled with unclean creatures, and you don't eat what has touched unclean creatures. So Peter tells God, "No." And I have to stop here for a moment and chase a squirrel, because I know that on more than one occasion, I have heard God give me a direction, and I have just looked right at him and said, "No." And it shouldn't be funny, but it is, because he's God. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing it for a while now, and yet I say no. And so did Peter. Back to the story. So the net goes back up. But then the process is repeated. The net comes down. God says, "Eat." Peter says, "No." The net goes back up. And this happens a total of 3 times. So each time Peter has said no to the directive from God to eat. In verse 15, God gives this revelation. "What God has made clean, you will not call unclean." It was here that 3 Gentiles show up at the gate asking to talk to Peter. And they were there to ask Peter to come teach them. Now, normally, Peter would have said no, because they were unclean. But the dream or the vision that God had had, or that Peter had had and encountered God, it made it very clear what Peter needed to do. Peter had revelation and clarification because of the dream. Paul also had a dream or a vision that literally struck him blind, although he was known as Saul at the time. And I've shared before how his vision literally changed his vision, so much so that it caused a change in his name. But there's another man that's involved in this transformation. Ananias was the man that God sent to heal Paul, or Saul, as he was at the time. And here is this devout believer, this devout Christian, going about his day, doing his thing, and God gives him a dream or a vision and tells him to go to the man that is hunting Christians, mind you, and because this man has been told that Ananias is coming. So not only is he supposed to go to the man that's hunting Christians, but the man who's hunting Christians knows he's coming so he can be prepared. So Ananias is just kind of like, which is why this story makes me giggle as well, because I can't have be the only person that has had that revelation from God where you just look at him and go, are you sure? I'm always reminded of the comedian Mike Warnke when I study situations like this, because he said something that was very profound for me. He said that if God asked him to do anything, he would do it because God is God and God has the right to do that. God could slap him naked, paint him blue, and hang him upside down from a tree if he wanted to, because God is God and he'd be okay with it. But he might have to ask for some ID if that directive came up. Ananias doesn't exactly ask for ID, but I do understand that there are things that just don't make sense. If you look at it from the world's perspective, that God pushes us towards. And I think for Ananias, this was one of those. So Ananias does remind God that Saul's been hunting Christians. You know, God, this guy, he doesn't like us so much. And God assures Ananias that it's okay. In Acts 9 and verse 15, God tells Ananias, "Go anyway. He," Paul, Saul, is a chosen vessel for me to the Gentiles." So God knew what he was doing. A vision was used to touch Saul. A vision was used to touch Ananias, and Ananias followed the directions of the vision to touch the eyes of Saul, who became Paul, whose teachings touched the world. Dreams come in so many shapes and sizes and so many depths and widths. But in the end, what dreams do is take away the reality for a moment so that possibility has the room to grow. See, I am designed to live out an exceeding abundant life, but I will have to do it with my dreams. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your dream igniter because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of the world. My prayer is and always will be that the words I'm sharing with you help establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Remember, in all that you're doing, be blessed and be a blessing.
You have been listening to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Join Catherine back here to unlock thoughts and ideas for growing up possibilities and giving wings to the hope for life. Visit Catherine's website, www.catherinelang.com, to learn more about her writing or to sign up to work with her. Catherine offers individual, group, and corporate coaching to jumpstart your journey to success. You can find more shared encouragement and inspiration through the Quote of the Day and the Moment of Hope broadcast. You can also find Catherine around social media to connect and engage and grow up relationships that will foster this journey of acceptance, hope, and possibility. On Facebook, look for The Catherine C. Lang. On Twitter, use @CatherineC. Lang. On YouTube, you'll find her at The Catherine C. Lang. Until next time, remember that a seed of hope planted and nurtured, will grow up into a world of possibilities.